See?
All right. Welcome to It Is What It Is. I'm Shamarie.
I'm Jean.
And just to start out with, I want to let everybody know Jean does not have COPD. Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is that? What is that?
Infection of the lungs. Well, it's a disease of the lungs, actually.
Oh.
So.
Well, she's fine in all good health. So, your comments mean nothing to me. Just kidding. We do try to take all of our comments seriously.
Oh yeah.
The reviews.
And it was a good review. I mean, I'm sure
it was
lots
very...
of people are irritated with me, and I'm sorry. It's an absolute glare to the face that it is time to quit smoking.
Right.
So, I had a rough morning already.
I haven't smoked in forever, guys, so I'm a champion.
I didn't even smoke this morning.
You haven't?
No, and I just woke
up.
Wow.
Good job.
Ridiculous. Coughed for about 45 minutes.
Really?
Maybe not that dramatic, but...
Oh.
Yeah.
I was
like
damn,
it was like
Jean,
that
I'll go to
coughing.
The doctor with you.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, because then you find out what's wrong.
Oh,
so,
yeah, fuck no.
Denial and, and, yeah.
Okay.
I would rather just go through...
Okay, I can't say she doesn't have the COP.
Give you the 2 weeks
PD.
Notice before I die type
situation. Oh, no.
Yeah. That's better for me.
Jesus.
Than worrying about it.
That's a good question I want to ask people, because I asked my cousin Kara.
Did you?
Yeah. If you get, if you go to the doctor, okay, and you're going because you're like, I might have some, like, ailment that will, like, end my days. Do you go to the doctor and be like, just don't tell me? And let me croak. Like, tell the person I'm with, obviously, so someone knows I only have a couple of weeks to die, so that they're not surprised. Just don't tell me, though. Because, do you want to know? That's my question. Is, if you had the choice, no or not no, and, like, you just drop dead, or you know that, like, in 4 days, 7 hours, and 32 minutes, you're dying.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to enjoy those 4 days and those minutes. You know what I mean? They're going to be filled with sadness and, like, telling everybody your feelings about them so that they know that they were loved, because it turns into about everybody else, even though you're dying.
Yeah.
You have to confess your love to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Just don't tell me. Let me be a rowdy little bitch till the end and...
I know. I gotta go get...
Like, I'll just go.
I'm gonna have to go get boobies smashed this year and...
Ugh!
All sorts of stuff.
Gross.
So...
So, yeah, you guys just know that we do take it seriously, and I
we
guess
do.
You guys have brought
up
health concerns.
It was a well-written review. And,
it was.
And
I can't even hate
it. We
them.
Are going to be banging and each have a Mercedes with on the back license plate. So, thank you for the inspiration. That was all cute, though. You could quit your day jobs.
Right. But, yeah, we do take them seriously if you're not an asshole. You know? Like Jean
said,
it was well written. It
yeah.
hurt my feelings for like a couple seconds. I won't lie.
Yeah.
It did. It stung me deep. But I was like, okay. Okay. It wasn't like, you guys fucking suck.
Mm-hmm.
You're miserable. You're horrible. I can't stand
I'd rather have
to
someone
you.
Poop on my head.
Yeah. I'd rather be shit on. You know? It was a legit good review of like, hey.
It was an actual review.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
This is just what's bothering me.
Yeah.
And like she said, she just didn't. You guys, I had to save her. You guys, here's a little inside behind the scenes of It Is What It Is. Jean almost blew her nose. You guys. So the coughing, give this lady a break. She's new to the podcast.
Uh-huh.
She really is.
We'll be
fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
I have all faith in you.
Well, not
and
now.
No, I'm not getting a new host. What?
You don't want a new co-host?
I do not.
Oh.
I am pretty satisfied.
I'm not fired! Anyways.
Yeah, as long as... Well, here's the question. Did you finish that movie?
No.
Yeah, you probably are fired.
No.
But how far did you make it?
Burn this motherfucker trucker down. Well, do you want me to dig in you his pros and I'll tell you where I'm at? Or do you want me to
No, just wait.
Alert?
We'll just wait. Just yell at me.
I'll raise my hand.
Well, then, yeah, sure. You guys can't see that. It's a fun surprise. Okay, but first, we got to catch you guys up on some of the cases we've done before that are not... done cases.
Yeah.
So
still pending.
Yeah. James Sasser III, he is the one who killed and tortured his nephew
with
in Yellowstone.
The grandparents. Mm-hmm.
In Yellowstone, mm-hmm. Yes. he has pled not guilty, and he is being charged as an adult in these crimes, and he has to go back in court in July. And then they did release a new statement last night. I saw it on Facebook. My friend shared it. I think she knows these people.
Mm.
But she shared it, so I read it. Thankfully, it came out last night before we did this. But I don't know why the aunt's not being charged. I want to know why that...
She was living in the home, correct?
I
got to
look into that. She was. And I guess she did not like him. I guess she was as mean to him as everybody else was.
I think it was a norm to treat that child that
way.
Well,
yeah. And I guess the cops asked the mom. They were like, well, how do you think the kids learned to treat him so horribly? And even the grandma was like, well, I guess me, obviously. Like the... So I guess it was just the norm. So I want to know why the aunt's not being charged. Because she sent messages, like texts to her boyfriend about how much she didn't like him. And like really mean things.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
She should be charged.
She should be. I feel like the aunt...
If you're aware of a crime being committed...
Well, yeah,
and you're a terrible person, and that's your parent. Yeah. Because the grandparent, the evil bitch is her mom. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And even the friend, the family friend was arrested. He's the fourth one arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was, I don't know if it's, she's not on the videos they have, but just her text alone, you at least need to be arrested for being a fucking bitch.
I'm just saying that I would hope that people get details to the ladies in her pod.
Right.
Because I believe in justice.
For sure.
So...
Okay,
not the system, justice.
But right. And I think the grandparents go back to court, and I think I read it was like June. I'm not 100% sure on that, so do not...
So they can build their case and...
I think the grandparents are going mm-hmm. first, and then him, I think is how this is going to go. I think mm-hmm. they'll go first, and then he'll come. So we'll watch out for that. Anything we can do to keep up his... story. I'm watching it, and I have an alert on my phone and everything for him and all that. James Alexander.
Cesar?
No. Hurley. He doesn't have the last name that these monsters have, thank God. Okay, and then the next person we obviously have to update you about is Lori Gabel Daybell. She did go to court in Rexburg. She was transferred. Jean came over. We watched it together. It was really cute. An adorable and a bonding moment.
You know, Rexburg, everything in that jail is made in-house.
Yeah.
So she's eating well.
She's eating well.
I know. It's not the dog food.
Oh, and just to solve this mystery, everybody acts like it's a fucking mystery. Where did she get the red lipstick from? It's called a lawyer. Okay, it's their job to make you look presentable.
Nobody's watched the everybody's I'm not the only one that watches the Locked Up.
They
have lipstick. Those girls took care of her. Stop.
Well, I don't know if she. I don't know where she is within the jail. I know, but I don't know where she is within the jail.
Yeah.
So I just know for sure. I can say, lawyers do that.
Yeah. Not her color.
Not her color. No, I would not go to red. And I just love the cunt face, bro. Mm, I even told Jean, big fan of it, big fan. She is smirking bitch. Oh yeah, dude, she is smirking bitch.
I know.
Oh sorry.
Well, she's confident. She's confident. She's had a little hiccup since people don't.
She is not fronting. So, the judge in Rexburg did lower her $5 million bail to $1 million, but she has to, if she does make bail, wear a GPS. Monitor 24/7, 7 days a week. She has to still remain contact with her law team. She has to give up her expired passport, even though it's already expired. She still has to give it up. And she has to go to all of her court hearings. And she has to stay within Bonneville, Jefferson, Madison, and Fremont counties. And just so everybody who does not from here,
that's the surrounding area.
That's St. Anthony, Rexburg, Rigby, and Idaho Falls.
Mm-hmm.
Those are her domains. So if you see this bitch in Pocatello, she's out of her domain, is what it is.
Yeah.
So those are the cities that you can see Lori Daybell in if she gets out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so far, as of today, two bail bondsmen have come forward saying she did come to us. We have turned her down. Because.
Damn Skippy.
Yes. Well, I wonder why.
Well, she has to go back to court in on the 18th and the 19th. So yes. Next week.
Yeah.
So really.
You don't need to spend that down. Much money.
You know what I mean? You're going Tuesday. To. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would wait till Tuesday, and then honestly, that's when I would fight for my bail, because then I can set my trial out longer.
Mm-hmm.
Why waste the money when you can just be an asshole and put me back in jail on Tuesday and make me do it again?
Yeah.
It's the way of being an ass. Jesus. No. Yeah. Well, I'm giving her tips. Stay your ass in jail till Tuesday. But she's having a problem because I guess, okay, so this big bondsman, this big guy. Came up and he was like, well, I'll give you guys the interview. So he gives the interview and he says, pretty much in the state of Idaho, when you get $1 million bail, that's pretty much saying you get no bail.
Oh.
Because with that, you also have to have property to put up that's worth $1 million.
Collateral.
And believe me, Chad's home ain't $1 million. It ain't.
You don't think so?
No.
But what about his combined property in Hawaii? And then they lived in Arizona. Did they still have like a hideaway in Arizona? Are they preppers? Were they preparing for coronavirus?
Okay, but you have to legally come out and give them this address.
Yeah.
So no. Shady people don't usually give out their hideouts for bail.
I don't know.
You don't give them the place you go to hide. Professional tip for everyone.
The house in Hawaii alone would be $1 million anyways.
You think?
Everything in... Milk is $8 in Hawaii, honey. Yeah, everything's expensive. And it was a gated community. And I don't know. I almost got attacked by a very good friend. Like, a personal friend of mine, Lonnie. So, because I do think there is... Because you know how I am. I do think there is everyone... really does need to shut the fuck up and leave this woman alone. Like, the staking out of her houses. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's the private citizens. I mean, the FBI and police. The police need to do their job on this one since everyone's watching. But, like, the private stalkers and all these people that are following her and harassing Chad. The whole thing.
Yeah.
I find is too much.
It is.
You know?
I agree.
Because you have to let the court system do its thing. She has to go through all of these steps. Mm-hmm. And it's her right. If she doesn't want to say anything about her goddamn kids, she doesn't have to.
Yeah.
She doesn't.
No.
You know, she can drag this out until the 12-year mark and then just go to jail for, 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
And then be done?
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. Because we love our kids so much.
Yeah.
But Lonnie's point was, but as an actual parent with love,
mm-hmm.
would you tell this person, hey, well, my daughter died last year and I don't have a son? Or whatever she had said. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Where she, you know, said that she didn't have any kids. Or not cooperate with police. You know, if Maisie was missing and you hadn't seen her since September and they wanted to ask you questions...
Well, if I knew where she was, I wouldn't give a fuck. That's my business.
So would you play it along in this whole media frenzy that she's doing?
Well, why not?
I guess she's worldwide.
I see why she's doing it. It's bringing awareness to what she believes her cause is.
Nobody cares about her cause.
If I knew where my daughter was...
Yeah.
And for some reason, a grandparent... was like, oh, I haven't seen her in this long, go check. And the cops come here and I know where she was and I don't feel that they need to know where she is. That's my right as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
What Lori can do is come out and say these neglect charges are fucked up because I've paid. If she shows that she has still supported them, that's the thing. If the cops come and they say, hey, where's your baby? I say, fuck you, mind your business. And then they go take me to court. I can just say, hey, this is where they are. I don't need to present them to you. I am paying for them. I have not neglected them. I know where they are.
I thought she was getting Social Security for him, too.
Well, she is. Yeah. And that she's breaking the law.
Yeah. That if she can show support.
Yeah, if you show, that's all her charges are. Mm-hmm. Is that she has not supported them financially or anything like that. That's all her charges are at this point in time. Or two felony counts of that. So really, if she is able to show that they obviously, you have to prove that they're alive. And that's the thing, is I think if, when you do want to hide out your children and not produce them, I think as long as you are able to let someone lay eyes on the child, then I don't think you have a problem. People send their kids away to go live with relatives all the time.
All the time.
All the time. It's mm-hmm. not a problem. And that's where I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, if I sent her to California with my sister and didn't tell anybody, that's my fucking business. Mm-hmm. I don't need to tell you that I sent her to go with my sister at any point in time.
But you're also not weird.
Yeah, I'm not weird, but like, you know what I mean? Big secret. So Lori has that right. Her problem is she's a liar.
Yeah.
And then
liars go to hell.
Yeah. And we got a charge for trying to get, I believe it's our sister-in-law, our ex-sister-in-law, to lie and say that
the kids were
the kids were there. Mm-hmm. So we're lying all over. And then they
but
say,
at the most, perjury is what, a couple 90 days in jail?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, and then they say that the move was planned, previously planned, from Rexburg to Hawaii.
Yeah.
And the cops just happened to come the day before said move. What a fucking coinkadink.
Wasn't there still dishes in the sink? Yeah, that rhymes.
Like, how fast did you leave? When did you leave? Because they came back the next morning with that search warrant. So you had previously planned to move to Hawaii in the middle of the night under darkness? Okay, sure, cool. Yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Because that's, I think that's a pretty long plane ride, number one. You know?
And if you're driving, people travel at night. Fuck, I'm not saying don't travel at night.
Yeah, yeah. You're left at 2 in the morning for a road trip once, didn't you?
I did. I'm so productive.
But you're not weird.
I'm not weird.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I am weird. But I don't know. I'm not as weird as Lori Daybell.
Well.
That's a damn sure.
You know where your kids are.
Sure. Okay, so that's, we'll update you guys next week on that.
Or after the 18th and 19th?
Yeah, that's Wednesday and Thursday. Can we count when there's that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Wednesday and Thursday of next week. So next Sunday, we'll be able to tell you guys what happened on Wednesday and Thursday. Because it is a 2-day process. Because now, the next court hearings are the court hearings that people should have drove 8 hours for and traveled and everything else for that they did for her preliminary hearing, which is dumb. Anyway, the next court hearing is when we have to show probable cause. That is when the state has to come forward and say, this is what we have as the state to show that she needs to be charged with what she has been charged with. So this is when we will learn what it is exactly the state knows.
Well, and either side can be dicks and ask for a continuance and say,
oh, for sure. But they really can't, because they were asked in court under oath if they would be ready.
I don't know. That one attorney has that look on her face.
She like, does. She but knows she also tricks. Was asked by the judge, will you be ready? And she said yes.
Yeah.
So I would not go starting off my time with this judge.
I think this judge handled it pretty well. He heard both sides gave a good
and I don't think that, and you're like, I just don't think that pissing him off second court appearance would be the way to go.
No.
If I was a lawyer, that would not be my way.
Yeah.
I would fucking go.
Yeah.
And show my shit. And Lori can also come forth and be like, this is what we have to say, I'm not. So everybody needs to keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. That she has pled not guilty, so this is her turn and her chance
to explain
to
herself.
To come forth and say why she is not guilty. Mm-hmm. So we cannot judge her. Well, we can, because the bitch is crazy. But we should not legally judge her.
No.
Yet.
Yeah.
Personally judge her all day. Legally, can't. Okay, so
just stop with the mob nonsense, seriously.
It's crazy.
Go bake some cookies for your kids and read them a book or something.
So today's story is brought to everybody by my cousin Destiny.
Good old Destiny.
Yes, I went back in the files on the in the email. Because I didn't know who to do, and I remember Destiny was telling me about this, so I was like, fine, cool, I'll look at it. And then I was entranced. So, we're going to talk about Sylvia Marie Likens.
I tell you what, there's a few things I want to talk about.
Right? Okay.
Bullshit.
So, this sweet little baby angel was born on January 3rd, 1949. She is the third of the Lasser and of Lester, of Lester and Elizabeth Likens. She has four siblings. She has two older sets of twins, Diana and Daniel, and a younger set of twins, Jenny and Benny. Oh my God. Imagine yelling at them. Jesus Christ. That's how I named my kids. I'm not even kidding. I would scream out the names and do the get your ass over here. And see if it sounded good, because I didn't want to sound dumb in a park. Anyway. So, Sylvia was 16 years old in 1965. She loved roller skating and the Beatles. She had long, wavy brown hair, a bright smile, but she was missing a tooth due to an accident with her brother. So when she smiled, it was like a teethless smile, but she was always smiling.
Just the one tooth.
Yeah, just the
brothers
one little
are tooth. Assholes sometimes.
I don't think it was like something that I think yeah. they were playing.
Yeah.
Anyway, her family and everybody called her Cookie. Cute when you have a nickname. She cared for her little sister Jenny, who had a limp leg due to polio. She also enjoyed spending her time babysitting for money. Using that money to go to the skating rink with Jenny. She fastened one skate on Jenny's sturdy foot and held her hand so that she could skate with the other kids.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. In 1963, Sylvia met Paula and Stephanie Benikowski. Is that how you say their last name?
I think so.
Benikowski? I think so. Anyway, at a school on January 3rd, 1965, Sylvia's mother was arrested for shoplifting. Lester sold concessions at carnivals and usually took the boys with him to work but could not bring his daughters. Since the Likens and the Benikowski girls got along, Lester decided that Sylvia and Jenny can go live with Gertrude. And he would pay Gertie, $20 each week to board and care for them. Gertie promised to care for the children as if they were her own. So God bless her children. And now we must hear about the evil spawn, Gertie.
Oh my goodness.
Gertie Benikowski. I might be fucked, dude. I feel like I'm saying that wrong, but I really don't care because she's worthless. Was born on September 19th, 1928. She married John Benikowski at 16 years old. The couple had four children together. John was physically violent towards Gertie, and she divorced him in 10 years' time. Weeks later, she married some guy named Edward. He turned out to be abusive as well. So they divorced within months.
See, that's why you gotta just.
Then Gertie.
Jesus.
Because she a dumb bitch. Then Gertie goes back and remarries the first husband.
Joe.
And has two more children. And then divorces for a second time. Next, Gertie meets 22-year-old Dennis Lee Wright.
Maybe Gertie should get a job instead of trying to find somebody to take care of her.
The unwed couple. Shame for shame. Had a son together. Dennis Jr. in 1965. Dennis abandoned Gertie with the baby. And she filed paternity suit against him. Though she never saw a penny.
No.
He always came and got money from Gertie though. He'd dick her down and then make her pay for it. Not funny. I laughed at something else. I didn't. So in 1965, Gertie was haggard. She's a chain smoker. She's a single mom who has 7 children living at 835 East New York Street in Indianapolis, Indiana. And she paid the amount of rent of $55 a month. When the girls first got there, the family treats them nicely as promised. And then the Likens and the bitch girls start spending time singing popular songs and gossiping about boys and being cute together. That home, Gertie's home in the neighborhood, is where you are known to go when you have no fucks given about you.
Oh.
That is where you go when you can get away with anything and everything.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to Gertie's house, you can be smoking, you could be drinking, even raunchy sex talking. And it happened right before Gertie's eyes.
Oh, wow.
And Gert didn't do nothing about it. So all the kids wanted to come hang out with Gertie. Gert's 13th pregnancy ended in her 6th miscarriage. God bless that child. She was tired and looked twice her age at the age of 31.
Well, how many pregnancies did you say this poor woman did? 13?
Yes. Ugh. And 6 of them were miscarriages.
Yeah.
I've had 10 miscarriages and 2 children, so.
It's just traumatic.
It is.
You know?
It is. It's horrible. So, okay, so to add to her plate, the 17-year-old was pregnanted by a married man. Her 17-year-old was a whore. Anyway. They shared...
Liar pants, too.
Yeah, they shared the room with 11-year-old Marie, 10-year-old Shirley, and 8-year-old Jimmy. The room had 1 mattress on the floor that the 5 children took turns sleeping in.
Oh.
The Likens, Lester Likens, her dad, never stepped 1 foot into the home of where the girls were going to go.
No.
Or else he would have known right off the bat that there wasn't even enough beds in the house for the children who lived there, and that the house only had a hot plate where the stove should have been. So wow. It's like rough times in this.
So then,
place.
Gertie didn't get child support from none mm-hmm. of her baby daddies.
I don't think she got much dude from anybody. It really sounds like Gert was put out to fucking just take care of herself. So she was in no way able from the get go to take in these 2 girls. But she just looked at it as, I'm gonna get $20 a week. I'm gonna be able to pay my rent. I'll fucking take care of these kids. So, she was really, really hard up on money. Without the weekly $20, she would have no way to feed all 9 of the children and to pay her rent. She was glad that Mr. Likens at first paid that $20. The first $20 was paid up front. When the future payments arrived late or did not come at all, she would become angry. This is when the Likens sisters first got hit the very first time. After the first late payment, she dragged Jenny up the stairs and whipped her with a leather belt, yelling, "Well, I took care of you 2 bitches for a week for nothing."
Mm-hmm.
The money arrived in the mail the next day. Sylvia and Jenny's parents came a few days later and gave another advance payment. The sisters said nothing about the beating. When Gertie learned that Sylvia was recycling pot bottles for cash, she cut loose on her with a 1/4-inch wooden paddle, and she hit her repeatedly across the back and the head.
Why?
Because she had money, and Gertie thought that she stole the money and thought that her saying that she went out and recycled it was a lie. So Gertie just assumed that she stole it instead.
Yeah.
Even though sweet little Jenny said that she didn't steal it, that she really did go out and recycle the bottles. All
the cans, the bottles and stuff.
Yeah. When Gertie would become weak due to her chronic illness and her bronchitis, she would hand the paddle over to her daughter Paula. And Paula is the first one who starts making up lies about Sylvia to Gertie, to Gert. Sounds like a disease. Gert. The abuse was very frequent, happened all the time, and it was severe. Gertie, they believe, never felt bad for Sylvia, but she felt bad for Jenny because of Jenny's polio and like her brace. So that's why everybody thinks that she didn't hurt
her. Jenny.
Mm-hmm. That's why Jenny was saved, is what everybody thinks. Mm. Because of her polio.
Did mom go in the house at all?
No.
For why?
No, I don't know. In August of 1965 is when Gertie started having continuous outbursts on Sylvia. Sylvia admitted that she had a boyfriend in California. Gertie was disgusted by this and so was Paula. Paula repeatedly kicked Sylvia in her vagina area and accused her of being pregnant. Not only was she subject to beatings by Gertie, but they also started to starve her with food and, like, take away her food. Sylvia began to forage food from dumpsters. When Gertrude caught her, she and Paula and the other children around the neighborhood, one of the dude's names is Randy, forced her to eat a hot dog loaded with condiments, with an oversized amount of condiments and spices. When Sylvia threw this up, the trio made her eat the vomit in return. Yeah. The girls returned to school in the fall, which pleased their father. Gertrude accused Sylvia of spreading rumors of Paula and Stephanie, saying that they were prostitutes. Gertrude was mad, very, very mad at this when Paula comes home crying and that the lies are being spread. So, like I said, they punished her in front of the children. Stephanie's, though, her 15-year-old boyfriend, Coy, attacked Sylvia in response of the rumors. And called her filthy names. Gertrude accused Sylvia of stealing gym clothes as punishment. She burnt her fingertips with a lit match for stealing. I imagine that. Ugh, God. Okay. While screaming that she hated Sylvia and how she was ruining her life. Somehow would always turn to Sylvia's alleged sluttiness, promiscuity. You should never do, this is quotes, you should never do anything with a boy until you're married, Gertie would say. Sylvia would reply that she hadn't. Which only pissed off Gertie. You should never, Gertie would scream while she kicked Sylvia in the lower women area repeatedly. Kicking her down there did not satisfy Gertie, so she would make Sylvia strip naked and insert a glass Coke bottle into her vagina while all the children stood watching and laughing. She would do all of this in front of all of the children. Everybody would be present. She would call a family meeting and do this. Her poor sister had to sit there and watch this shit happen. In fear that, like, she's next.
Yeah.
And I trust and believe that's what I think happened. That was the fear. Sylvia's parents did check on their daughters on August...
Bullshit!
On October 5th. Again, they kept the secret. Afraid that they would make things worse.
No, you say, I'm not staying here. I'm going with you.
Right.
You just go with your mom. That's what... At that... I don't know.
So,
I'm not staying in that house, I don't think.
They felt they had no choice, I guess. I really don't know why, because I feel like that would have been the time to tell them so that they could just go on the circus with them. Like, beg to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Beg to go.
Or just be honest.
No.
I'm sure she had bruises.
Well, I'm sure, but I don't know. I would feel that, like, my parents wouldn't be able to stop her and all of the children. You know what I mean? Because it's not just one abuser. She's getting abused by everyone. So I kind of feel like maybe she's like, okay, well, no one can stop all of them.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people. Believe me, I know. You know what I mean? Maybe. So, like I said, Gertie eventually banned them from seeing their other family members. Their older sister lived nearby, and they would see her from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
One of the torturous, horrible things they did is Paula once held the door open and dared Sylvia to get away and stay away. Sylvia had nowhere to go. Her last day of school was October 6th. That is the day after the parents come and see her and check in on her. So the next day, she's pulled from school. Gertie told the school that Sylvia had no interest in going and pretending to be concerned about education. Instead, the real truth is... sorry. Gertie banned Sylvia to the cold basement. Coy became one of Sylvia's primary attackers. He enjoyed body slamming her and forcefully into the concrete basement floor. And he would tie her up for days at Gertie's request.
Mm-hmm.
Kids from the school, they would bring kids from school to participate and also further Sylvia's torture. Gertrude was always the ringleader. She was coaching them step by step all of the way. Nothing was off limits. If the children wanted to practice their judo, they were granted to practice it on Sylvia. The children also put cigarettes out on Sylvia's skin just to hear her cry. Gertrude would bathe Sylvia in scalding hot water until her skin blistered. Paula once beat her in the face until she broke her own wrist. Doctors put a cast on Paula's arm, and she would brag and tell everybody how she broke it. When she got home, she would continue to hit her with her cast.
Wouldn't that hurt?
Like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Gertie would use letters. You'd use burning hot needles to carve the letter I into the flesh of Sylvia's abdomen. Unable to finish because she is a smoker and, like, on the edge of death. But she doesn't die, unfortunately. There's this little 15-year-old neighbor boy that likes Sylvia. And Gertie has fucked his mind into believing that Sylvia is out dicking down everybody but him.
Mm-hmm.
And won't give him any time of day. So she instructs him to finish it, to complete the task of what she wants done. What she wants done is they carve into this poor baby child I am a prostitute and proud of it.
Hmm.
On her belly. And remember, this is at her request. This is also at her request. Richard heated a metal hook in attempts to brand the letter S onto her chest. Instead, he branded her with the number 3. Gertrude said that she was justified in it because Sylvia had branded her children and now she had branded her. And I guess Gertie asked Sylvia, what are you going to do now? You can't even get married now. And then Sylvia whimpered back to her, I guess there's nothing I can do. Coy returned Sylvia and tied her back up in the basement, where he slammed her frail body into the wall over and over and over again. Gertie finally broke her spirit. Jenny had snuck down there to console her baby, to console her sister.
Uh-huh.
Sylvia told her sister, I know you don't want me to die, but I am going to die. I can feel it. Yeah. I can tell. Her voice was weak and trembling. The beatings made Sylvia unconscious, like she couldn't stay awake,
mm-hmm.
pretty much. Like the beatings would start
incoherent.
And she, yeah. She started losing control of all of her limbs. She was unable to stand, get up, any of that by herself. Gertie knew that Sylvia had taken a turn for the worst, so she pretended that Sylvia was sleeping on a mattress in the upstairs bedroom. After giving her a lukewarm bath, she commanded her back down to the basement and forced her to write a letter. It says, to Mr. and Mrs. Likens, I went with a gang of boys in the middle of the night, and they said they would pay me. I would give them something. Hold on. I would give them something, so I got in the car, and they all got what they wanted. And when they got finished, they beat me up and left sores on my face and all over my body. They also put on my stomach that I am a prostitute and proud of it. I have done just about everything I could just to make Gertie mad and cost Gertie more money. I have tore up the new mattress and peed on it. I have costed Gertie doctor bills. And she is really cannot pay Gertie much more. I have made Gertie a nervous wreck and all of her kids. End of letter. That night, Sylvia heard Gertrude and her children making plans to go dump her off in the woods and ditch her there. She tried running, but Gertie caught her and dragged her back inside. She attempted to flee. Sylvia didn't have the strength to eat, but they made her toast. Gertie struck her in the face with a hot rod iron. Her son, John, then returned her to the basement. So they stuffed the toast down her throat. I don't know if that made sense. That didn't make sense. So yeah. They force-fed her toast, even though she could not chew nor swallow because she was so dehydrated and everything. They still forced it, like, down her throat. John then tied up Sylvia's wrist in the basement railing. Her toes could barely touch the ground. Gertrude would shove crackers into her mouth. Sylvia would tell her that she wasn't hungry, and she would she would suggest that they would feed that food to the dogs. Gertrude then would punch Sylvia in the belly. This is like the worst part. It's not even the worst part. But John force-fed her the containments of baby Danny's diaper, as well as making her eat her own feces. On October 25th, Gertrude, Cody, and John beat Sylvia until she lost consciousness. When Gertrude stomped on her head, when she came to, she gathered up enough strength just to bang on the walls of the basement, hoping someone would hear her, but no one came. On the morning of October 26th, 1965, Gertrude and Stephanie bathed Sylvia. During her bath, Sylvia stopped breathing. They became terrified. Not because they cared, but because they would have to explain why
she died.
Stephanie tried CPR. Gertie placed her broken body back on the mattress in the basement and had Richard call the cops. Remembered Richard's the little boy who was in love with Sylvia. Gertrude handed the police the letter that Sylvia wrote and told them that Sylvia ran away recently and returned injured, clutching the note. Gertie pretended to be grieving and claimed that she was trying to doctor Sylvia back to health.
Mm-hmm.
The officers rounded the hall corner to find Sylvia laying lifeless on a soiled mattress. The coroner noted that her lips had been chewed through. All 10 of her fingernails were bent backwards and broken. She had over a hundred wounds on her skin, all of them in different stages of healing.
And so he quickly figured out that, bullshit.
Yeah, this good, was good, ongoing good, trauma. Good. When he performed the autopsy, he said that the cause of death was torture.
Yeah.
The police asked the children all what happened. Gertie had told everybody the story to go with.
Oh, yeah.
But sweet little Jenny pops out of all the children.
Did she stand up?
And she says, if you get me out of here, I'll tell you everything.
Like, take me with you forever. Yep. Get me out of here.
Get me the fuck out of here. And so, Gertie was convicted of first-degree murder. Paula was convicted of second-degree murder.
Good.
They each received life sentences, but after a second trial, Paula pled to manslaughter and was released 2 years later. Gertie was paroled in 1985. She claimed she had no memory of any of her actions.
Oh no, she's innocent.
She died 4 years later of lung cancer. No one cares.
Yep.
If there is a devil in hell, he is definitely hanging out with her right now at this point in time. Paula moved to Illinois, where she got a new identity and got a job at an elementary school.
Oh, because she's shameful. Did she have that baby with the married
man? She
sure
did. She sure fucking did.
Oh, no, what happened to the baby?
The baby, I don't know. Mm. I don't know.
Sorry.
They never said what happened to the little baby that caused this whole mess.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the lies that Paula said that Sylvia started was that Paula was pregnant. And it wasn't a fucking lie.
She should have just let that man beat the shit out she of should've. Paula and rape her.
She should have. Honestly.
Shut your mouth.
Daughter Stephanie married and had several children and also became a school teacher. Richard Hobbs and Coy.
Are those kids abused?
I don't know.
Hmm.
And Gertie's son, John, were convicted of manslaughter.
Good.
All received 2 to 21 years in prison, which they served. They all served two. Richard died of 21 of lung cancer. Peace out, bitch. Baby Danny was adopted into a new family. Oh, bam. And so was Paula's daughter that she was pregnant with during the time. So those two got new families. Jenny, sweet little Jenny, married and had children of her own. She lived long enough to read Gertie's obituary.
Good.
Which she mailed to her mother with a letter that read, good news. Damn old Gertie died. Ha ha ha. I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
And that was the letter that she wrote to her mommy. The death of Sylvia Likens has continued to haunt Indianapolis as the worst crime ever committed in that state. The prosecutor's famous quote from this is saying, This case has never had its equal. It is the most vicious thing, the most heinous thing Indiana has ever seen.
Bless you.
Sorry. The house sat empty for decades, and then it was eventually leveled, and now is a church parking lot.
Good.
With a memorial dedicated to Sylvia, because she was very, very, very religious.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point in time, the pastor did try to see her, because he noticed that Jenny was going to church without her. And when she goes, Gertie is like, well, I put her in detention because she's stealing from me. She's not here. And he's like, okay, well, you need to set it up with detention that I need to go and see her.
Uh-huh.
And that, like, all that was all happening, like, right before Paula killed her. Oh, my God, I just saw a shadow of a cat outside, guys, and it scared the hell out of me because I don't have cats. But no. There's one on my deck.
Oh, yeah, there is. He's a black cat.
Dude. Okay.
Fat black cat.
There's also an amazing movie that you can watch on YouTube for free or rent it, whichever way you want to go, whatever way makes your conscience feels good. It came out in 2007, and it is called An American Crime. It is the story of Sylvia Likens. And oh my God, it is so good. Oh, it is so good. It is such a good movie. Ugh. And she's also...
See, that's the part I got to was when Sylvia was mind-fucking the kid that likes Sylvia. And because he went over and she...
To get
was,
sick. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so then she's giving him cigarettes and alcohol and talking to him. And,
yep.
Yeah, that's when I had to pause and go buy a computer for the business.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to finish it. It's super sad.
Oh, good. Yeah, thanks. Why can't you get me a funny romantic comedy to watch?
Because that's not what we do. But like I said, she's also on the ID channel on Deadly Women, Season 3, Episode 11. It's called Born Bad. Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch. I guess, like, there's even tales of a ghost. Sylvia's ghost that remains haunting.
Well, that would be terrible. I hope she's not still trapped here.
Before the house was torn down, there's pictures of, like, what they claim is Sylvia in, like, the windows of the house and stuff while it was empty.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of stuff on it. I am going to post the picture of the I Am a Prostitute and Proud of It and her body at the crime scene, just so everybody is aware of that. I am going to post all of it.
Yeah.
And then if anybody thinks that Lori Daybell has a smirk, wait until you look at Paula's mugshot. Have you seen Paula's mugshot yet?
No, I'm just...
Okay, we're back. I had to show Jean.
So
that's her smirk, which I also will post. Everybody's pictures and all that fun jazz. But yeah, this poor little girl is like the first, like, not, I'm sure she's not the first
child to die that way.
To die this way. But, like, I don't know.
I think if we learn anything from these cases that we're finding out, like the Rodriguez case and the poor Hurley case and this case of child abuse and torture, no, it's been happening since forever. But why don't we just start to stand up and say something? Like, if you know that it's not just a bad kid.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why he's always fucking grounded.
But for us to be able to stick up for children, someone above us has to believe in what we're reporting.
Yeah, because then in like that California case, just even like when you do the right little thing. Case,
yeah. And like everybody's says that they don't want to watch Gabriel's story because it's sad, and I've seen that a lot. But everybody's like, I don't want to watch it because it's super sad. It's super sad. You need to watch it because the a girl I know that was like, I don't want to watch it. I don't want to watch it. You need to watch it because she has insight, like she's had in the past insider insight into like situations like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this is the kind of stuff that you need to know when you don't report it and you just sit back and you just talk shit and you're like, oh, he's a horrible parent. They're horrible parents. Man, they are the worst parents. Save that fucking baby.
Yeah. At least start a paper trail with reports.
Something. Yes. If you can sit there and say they are shitty parents, fucking do something.
Or like, I'm gonna spend the night over there so they don't beat the shit out of him today.
Yeah, like if that's the type of shit day. You know mm-hmm. is going on, fucking do something. You're believe like, me, ain't nobody gonna be fucking mad at you but the piece of shit who was doing it.
Yeah.
And like, what does their value really truly fucking mean at the end of the day?
Well, because you took their punching bag away.
Well, yeah. So, like, I don't know.
It's, I don't know. It's a I'd good bring story. Him into the home, it's... honestly, and be like, well, I guess you can be an asshole to me because you're not going to live there because it's just one more mouth to feed.
Yeah. And, like, I always do when I knew growing up that people had shitty home lives, even though, no, like, my house was that house. My house was the house you could go smoke and drink at and fucking party at and.
Safe? Well.
No, I would. It was, I mean, it was safe. Nothing obviously ever fucking tragically happened. But, like, my house was the no adult house, no adult supervision house. And so, like, and I knew other kids that had shady lives. Like, fuck, dude, just come chill. Like, I got it pretty relaxed over here. So, just come over here. And that's how, really, I have a bunch of siblings that aren't even my blood siblings. But, like, they had a shitty life.
Mm-hmm.
And those people would do anything for me.
Mm-hmm.
And just like I've talked about John Boy a lot, he's not like my blood brother, but you couldn't make him any closer.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's just, I don't know. When you go to those places, you should always feel safe. I don't know. It just bothers me about how people can hurt people. And like when these other kids from the hood, the movie is off of the court transcripts.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how the movie was made?
Yeah. Okay. It's off of the court transcripts. When they ask all these other kids, why did you go and do that? None of them had a fucking answer. All the prosecutor got was a bunch of, I don't know, sir. I don't know, sir. No, dude, look within yourself. Why were you cool with going over there and beating this girl and going home and saying fucking nothing? And you would do it every day? And, like, one of the little girls from the school would go every day just to put a cigarette out on Sylvia. Every day. Just to put a cigarette out on her. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, this is the shit people do. I don't get it.
It's makers of sociopaths.
It pisses me the fuck off. And everybody's like, oh, well, because little John, the son, was the youngest inmate at that time to ever been sent to prison. And when researching it, I saw a bunch of people like in an uproar about it. About him being so young. And like, are you kidding me? At that age,
did they read what he did? It's just like that 14-year-old punk ass. It's just like
the 14-year-old fucking douchebag.
Yeah.
At that age, there's no changing you.
Mm-hmm.
You've decided to be a worthless piece of shit. That is your coast in life. You are a worthless piece of shit. No amount of sorries, counselings, blah, blah, blahs are going to take away you being that sick, twisted motherfucker that did that and didn't even think twice about it. There's something wrong within you.
Well, the most is Gertrude, because if she was that angry... And that resentful and that spiteful, because I just don't get it. If you hate them that much, kick them out.
Well, she
don't
said,
even tell the parents. Just tell them to get the fuck out. She you don't pretty have much to feed just after
said
that.
Though that like, with all of the chaos and everything going on, that it was just easier to like put all of her shit out on Sylvia than it was to, like, punish the children for being crazy-ass, rancid-ass little people.
So then everyone that tortured and killed this lady just got 2 years.
But yeah, they pretty much got 2 years. And
2 years for killing somebody.
Pretty much. The boys did. And then Gertie got out, so I mean, Jenny got out. I mean, she never was charged, obviously, because that's Sylvia's sister. But she got out of the situation. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Paula
got out. No one ever paid eternity for their crime. And they should have. They should have.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible.
Well, the mom and dad, would you, like, if I took Natalie and Maisie and said, I'll see you in August, are you going to come and see the room? Or are you just going to assume that they're going to sleep on a mattress in the basement?
Well, are you going to ask me questions? Is, yeah, but, like, there's going to be questions. There's going to be... But this is a dad who needed to make money and needed to go with the circus. Like, they were moving. It was moving on.
So take care of your fucking kids and take the girls with you.
I don't know why the girls couldn't go. But now he's sad. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't live. Now your daughter's
dead.
Yeah, I couldn't live with that regret and that horribleness. But I just, man, you trust, you should be able and to point out he didn't know Gertie.
No.
So you left your child with a complete stranger.
Mm-hmm.
For one. Number one problem. Nobody's know who the fuck you're giving your children to if you're giving your children away like they're goddamn objects to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The whole thing just pissed me off.
Like when I set Daniel off for 2 weeks, it was DeMarla. So obviously I've known her for 20 years. That kind of stuff. Use common sense. I guess back in the... When did that happen? 50s?
60s.
No? They did have more trust. They didn't... Sociopaths hid themselves well and falling apart old women, I guess.
I don't know. That's just so tragic. It is. To be able to do that to somebody and then coerce children into being as horrible as you.
But I guess that's kind of a safety net because now she can say... Well, yeah, because you're not going
down by yourself.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. That's always the best way to do it. Always make sure you don't have to take out an accomplice. I mean, you can take down your accomplices with you. I don't know.
You're not supposed to sit like that.
Oh, it's fine. I, like, guys, I sit it in Indian style, and I popped my ankle. And,
the bad ankle.
Yeah, the bad one. And it's, like, sent, like, this weird pain up my leg, and then my shoulder started hurting. I think they're connected, but Gina, my brother, and my husband tell me they're not, but I think they're all full of shit. And
in your body, the only one on the planet Earth.
Yeah, I know what's going on.
It's the same nerve. No, okay. It might be. I know
what's going on. I feel it. They don't. It happened at the same time. It was like pop shoulder pain. Bam, bam. Instantaneous.
Maybe that happened. Was just your subconscious deflecting pain. You know how cutters do.
Yeah.
You know, so your shoulder just hurts. So I do want to point about out, your damn ankle.
Except for a hachu, there was no coughing.
No.
There was no nothing.
Yeah.
Dick bags. Just kidding. I just like to talk shit. So, there you guys go. We did it. Bam. And, yeah.
Well, she's not even going to know. Because she says she's going to check back in 2 months, and she probably won't follow through. So, whatever.
I know. Right? And we did all this work for you.
I know.
Just for her. Yeah. Just for her.
I know. The background
one,
music.
The one person in America, it was her, and she's not even going to listen.
No.
Fuck. Can you redo your iTunes review? You know what I mean? Can you upgrade it? No, you can't. Dick, you judged me forever. I hope you come back, though. Maybe. Maybe you message us. Tell us you like it now, in 2 months' time.
Uh-huh.
Because we'll come at you again this good. Because we are going to master this shit.
Oh, yeah.
We will master it.
Oh, yeah.
But that is today's story.
Very guys, sad.
I put all my notes and everything into the same paper.
So look how organized you are.
I scripted it, kind of. Even though I don't believe this show should have a script, no. So I think that's stupid.
Yes.
I did kind of script it a little bit, at least like my notes and like what I needed to catch everybody up on so it wasn't a bunch of ums. Because I guess as much as they hate your coughs, my ums are not loved.
You know, but I have to do the same thing when I'm finding myself on the paper.
Yeah, I'm an ummer, so.
And honestly, my husband's right, and you know this, as well as I know this. It is impossible.
To please everyone.
To please everyone. So we're not going to try.
No.
I need to make you happy.
Yeah, that one was just a good review. That's
it was. All. I did have
a And she was nice.
Yeah, she was.
She was nice. It's the people who are mean to us. And say hurtful things. That's when I get pissed off.
Well, they don't matter.
So but they don't matter. But yeah. So hopefully you guys like this one. Please give us some positive feedback on this episode.
Or constructive criticism. Oh, yes.
Or be very nice on what we still, from this episode, should improve on. So you can do that on the following websites. You can do that on Twitter. At It Is What It Is 208, because that's where we are from. And, by the way, when weed's legal, you guys will understand a lot of things. And on Facebook, at It Is What It Is, a true crime podcast. I'm looking at Jean in the eyes like she's going to tell me this shit. She don't even know. On Instagram, at It Is What It Is, a pod 19. Haha. All one word. And on YouTube, at It Is What It Is, a true crime podcast. So I have cut back the fucks. We have not coughed. Yep. God bless us.
Stand up for kids that are getting beat.
Yeah.
It is your business.
It is your business, and I will fucking judge you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes they just need a hug and a sandwich.
Sometimes you just need to beat the fuck out of the parent you know is being a fucking dick.
Well, that's why they created cast iron skillets, I believe. Come at me.
I'm going to say, fight somebody your own size, bitch.
Well...
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get bass.
This, oh, I hate it when kids don't need to get hurt.
No.
They Dude, don't.
My babies are sick, and that's why, oh, before we end this, we are sorry about Sunday, because we didn't even say on any platform either why we didn't, but my babies are sick.
And your babies are more important
than my babies are more important than a podcast. Yes, yeah. So, I love all of you, but I love them more.
And moms out there that know what the cold and flu that runs through the house understand.
Yeah.
Have you had the stomach flu run through and you have to do laundry four times
a
day?
That was yesterday. That was yesterday. We had a bunch of panty changes yesterday. God, when she's old enough to hear this. You pooed yourself. Anyway.
Everybody
did. You were sick.
Yes.
But yeah, so I don't know why the fuck we're still talking.
All right.
Recording this.
Thanks, guys.
But see you guys later. Peace out.